Good afternoon, Wrangell. It's 1 p.m. on Tuesday, and this is Talk on the Rock, your local live community call-in show. I'm Sage Smiley, local reporter and news host. Today's guest is Corey Delabrue with the U.S. Forest Service here in Wrangell, and we're talking about the Stikine River Birding Festival, a.k.a. Birdfest. We're in the thick of things right now and excited to talk about the festival this year. Thanks so much for being with me, Corey.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you here in the studio. If anyone listening wants to call in, ask a question, or just say hi, you can do that at 874-2345. So first of all, welcome. So good to have you back at KSDK after, you know, not very long. You were here to help us with our pledge drive.
Yeah, I'm glad that went really well. And yeah. I've talked about Birdfest a little bit during that pledge drive as well.
Yeah, so I'm happy we can continue that conversation. I guess maybe first, how did you get involved with Birdfest? How did that come about?
Oh, well, it's again one of those things. It's been a partnership that's been ongoing between the City of Wrangell and the Forest Service for many years. And so, when I first took my job as actually before I even was permanent with the Forest Service, when I was a seasonal, I think I was hired as a seasonal interpreter. I'm going to say in April of 2011, and like one of the first things I did was like, okay. This is birding festival, so that's set up, like, go help out. And so I just jumped right into the middle of it. It was already organized and set up, but I kind of helped out and learned about it right from, I was like almost like one of my first assignments when I got the job here in Wrangell.
So there's a bit of, you know, beginning a new job nostalgia
in
Birdfest.
Like one of the first things I ever did, yeah.
building
bird feeders with the kids.
Oh, how lovely. I remember.
And we still do that.
Oh, is that happening this year as well? Or is that one of the COVID mitigations?
No, it's outside. So we're doing it this Saturday, actually, building bird feeders.
Oh, great. So I want to get into the schedule a little bit later. But broadly, like how would you kind of sum up the Stikine River Birding Festival? What is it? What happens? Why does it happen, kind of a thing?
You know, that's an interesting question because it's changed over the years. It's continuing to change. We're still trying to define ourselves. It started as the Garnet Festival.
Okay.
I actually just 97, it was the Garnet Festival, and it was just more of an all-around kind of spring festival. And this is again before my time, so I'm actually I don't know. I wasn't around for this decision of making it into the birding festival. I think part of it was trying to capitalize on other interest in birding, especially as attracting tourism in the shoulder season. Birding is, you know, one way to do that. The success of other festivals in Alaska around birding as well.
Totally.
There's actually quite a few during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just highlighting some of the unique things about birding in Wrangell. So the eagle, the hooligan, and the eagle sea lion feast that comes with the hooligan run is, you know, pretty unique to the Stikine.
Yeah.
It's like it's the largest springtime concentration of those bald eagles, you know, as they're feasting on the hooligan. So that was that kind of like, oh, we have this unique feature.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, so it's kind of that's kind of like the early part of spring. And then getting on about right now into the first week of May, you also just have this huge shorebird migration onto the Stikine. It's, between down in like Washington in that area, there's some good, feeding grounds. But then oftentimes from that spot, like the snow geese, this is like their first stop on their way up north into the Arctic or even over, so in the case of snow geese, Wrangell Island, Russia. Wrangell.
Wrangell with one L, right?
With one L.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Actually, many years ago now, or not maybe not many, but like 5, 6, 7 years ago, one of my favorite speakers, because I had that connection, was somebody that brought pictures from Wrangell Island, Russia.
Wow.
And was a biologist there. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was someone that spoke at Birdfest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
About Wrangell Island, Russia.
So
where the snow geese we see on the Stikine, that's where they're heading.
Wow, that's such a
but
cool
then,
connection.
Yeah, it is a cool connection. So I really enjoyed that year. But there's also shorebirds, and they're stopping here on the Stikeen Flats, you know, on their way up to the northern, into the Arctic, where they breed.
Mm-hmm.
So the Stikeen is this really good area for them to stop and rest on their migration.
So then it developed from the Garnet Festival into the Bird Festival. And what kind of events are typically held? And how has that kind of changed either throughout your tenure with Birdfest, or also I'm sure things are a little different this year with the pandemic? I know that we're, you know, chugging away at vaccinations, and so things are opening up a little more, but I would assume the festival is a little different than it has been.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I think the typical year is like you bring in, oh, for one thing, you bring in people from out of town,
uh-huh.
which we decided not to do this year. We started, you know, we're like, nobody from out of town. So, you know, that's typical. You bring like, so you find some speaker, some expert, some artist, and they come in and, you know, give a presentation. I like to find ones that had some sort of like connection to, you know, the birds here. So I kind of targeted speakers on shorebirds, like that mentioned the snow geese,
mm-hmm.
Sandhill cranes, and just, you know, so it's like ones that we're familiar with seeing during, we associate with this migratory season.
Absolutely.
As well. Or it's like Arctic issues, like marine debris was one. We had several speakers on that because that affects, you know, especially here,
mm-hmm.
It affects the birds. It also just are, you know, being on the ocean. Is something that we encounter all the time. And then, so that's a big part. Oh, another part that I really loved and involved bringing people in from out of town was having an artist. And so it's kind of nice having it during the school season, so we can kind of incorporate it into the school. So the festival would invite an artist from Alaska, and they would do school workshops. So mm-hmm. it's just fun to have a guest, right?
Yeah.
When you're from, you know, when you live on this island, you're just used to seeing the same people. It's kind of fun to have guests, right?
Yeah, make the festival a whole community thing mm-hmm. all over. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, we've, you know, there it was that, you know, idea of, you know, like promoting it more to bring in tourism. There has been some, it's difficult. One, it's this with this weather, like our spring weather, it could either be glorious and beautiful or like blowing. I know there were some areas it was blowing sideways wind. You couldn't even get like a boat trip.
I mean, right before we were on air, we were talking about the fact that it was so sunny for so long. And then I just read the National Weather Service said that on Thursday, we're supposed to break our daily record, double the amount of rain. Like that's the record for what'll that be? April 29th. So, you know, totally variable.
Yeah. So there's that spring weather. It could either be glorious or raining sideways and nobody wants to go out.
Uh-huh.
So that part of what makes the Stikeen so great is also what makes it really hard to get to. Like you have this, you know, it's in the wilderness area. You can't get there by road. And so that is one thing that makes it difficult, and tides are a huge impact, you know, impacting how you can see the birding. So it's not super easy to even go see the birds. Like some years between the weather and the tides, it's hard to even get out onto the flats.
Uh-huh.
So that's another problem with trying to promote birding. It's like, well, you have to catch this like right magical moment of
yeah,
you know.
So then this year, I mean, things are a little different. There's not going to be a guest or an artist or things like that in the same way that there has been in the past. And there probably aren't as many visitors because of the lack of those things and also just COVID in general. So how does the festival look this year? We're
okay.
Partway through. Like it started the 23rd, right?
Yes.
And so what's happened so far? How have those things gone? And what are we kind of looking at next?
All right. So, yeah. So how are we changing? Well, it's funny. We'd actually talked about changing the expanding it from one weekend to over the course of several weekends. We've talked about this for years. COVID just gave us the great of like, you know, kick
last
to be like,
hey,
push to like, hey, let's just make it little events scattered over a few weekends. I think inspiration for that was Ketchikan does like a hummingbird festival for like the month of April. So they kind of have different events going on. So it's not all concentrated in one giant weekend, but just little of community events throughout the whole month. And so following that model, and it worked out great because actually we were going to start our first event on the 18th.
Oh.
But because of the kind of the rise in COVID during that time, we thought, we already have it over several weekends. Let's just push it back one more week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of nice about having it like not all your eggs in one basket, right? So it's like it's just little events over the course of like,
definitely.
Three
and that almost feels like it's a little more community focused instead of like, oh, people are coming in from outside. We have all these events all the time for a week. Now it's like, oh, you know, stop by every few days. There might be something going on,
yes.
Kind of a thing.
And honestly, that's kind of the way migration is too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we're thinking about the, you know, and spring, right? Like there's like almost like peaks, waves of spring, right? We had our first wave of spring.
Definitely.
We just had our first wave of spring, right? So now we had like the sun to enjoy it. Now we have the rain part, you know, to help, you know, continue for things to grow.
Definitely.
So it's just in waves. And yes, acknowledging the fact that in reality, a lot of the birding festival is about, you know, our local community and not so much about visitors due to some of the logistical things. But also, by having the festival, though, I feel like it still promotes the Stikine as a resource and the importance. And, you know, when you have a festival, even if people are not necessarily coming to Wrangell specifically for this birding festival, by having the festival in name, it promotes the idea of like, oh, they do birding here. I wonder what's, you know, learning more about the birding in Wrangell just in general, and also more about the Stikine because it is such a cool resource for birds and other wildlife as well.
For pretty much everything. For anybody listening in, I'll just remind you, you can call in and ask a question if you have one. That's 874-2345. Cindy's in there taking calls if you want to call in. If not, I'm having fun just chatting about BirdFest. So the events that have happened so far, so what's already been done this year in BirdFest?
Okay.
And how do you feel like those things went?
Oh, so another thing that has changed is also, well, not changed, we've always done this, but it's kind of more about relying on things that are already existing in the community, especially during this time of COVID. So we're like, in planning this, like, what do we think, you know, months ago, like, what do we think in our crystal ball will be happening, you know, in Wrangell in the spring, you know, not knowing what the vaccination rate was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are we going to do? So it's like, okay, we can go virtual, do outdoors, and then also rely on things that are already ongoing. So, for example, the Nolan Center was already, you know, they had that big space. They're already showing movies. So like, hey, so let's, you know, tie onto that and sponsor some movies down at the Nolan Center specifically for birding.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a big showing of like The Big Year, which is a movie about birding. I hope some people went to it. It's hard to go to a movie on a beautiful sunny day. So yeah, say what it's like the weather. It's like, I want it nice when you're doing outdoor things. I want it raining when there's indoor things. But
just shake my weather stick and hope that it works.
Had a really fun visit, takeover of the library's virtual story time.
Oh, how
so
lovely.
I went and, you know, was their special guest. And that was fun with the kids, even though it is preschoolers and virtual and Zoom is
a little bit of a struggle.
I asked my own daughter how she felt it went afterwards, and she's like, well, I just like that you read Fancy Nancy. So she was happy.
That's good. So you read bird-themed books?
Or it was Earth Day theme for
okay.
that one.
Okay.
It was Earth Day. It was an Earth Day theme for that because it was the day after Earth Day.
Uh-huh.
And I also did leave activity packets, bird-themed activity packets at the library. So
you heard it here. If you want a bird-themed activity packet,
those
are at the library.
Yeah, so I introduced that to the kids on Zoom, but there's still some more, and I can always make more as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the themes of Earth Day kind of also, you know, affect the conservation theme of like birding, of like, trying to make habitat better for our wildlife.
Preserving wild places, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah, so like even like that's why I also try to promote IGAP's community cleanup this weekend as well. Like let's promote it as much as we can, you know, through the birding festival. Like and then there's some more virtual stuff coming up as well.
Yeah. So tell me about that. What kinds of things are coming up?
Okay.
What are you excited for the rest of BirdFest? So BirdFest started the 23rd. We've already had some things, and it's going to be running through May 8th, which is next Saturday. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. So tell us what's coming up for BirdFest.
So this weekend, Friday, we have another Zoom with Jonathan Vargas, who is a Mexican biologist from Baja California. And so we have a connection through the Forest Service. The Forest Service has this program called International Programs, and it's in many different types of work. You know, they do forestry, they do biology, and so and just cooperating with international partners. And so one that has been cultivated partnership is a network of biologists that are concerned with conservation of shorebirds,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they're migratory. And so it's not just about the habitat up here in Alaska, which might be great, but it's also about, you know, when they're in Baja California or Panama or Peru. And so there's this really cool network that the Forest Service has cultivated through their international programs work of biologists, and they share information, they have meetings, and a few years ago, we've kind of got connected in with that, and so we've had some visiting biologists every year, usually as part of the festival, in person, and this year we have one virtually. So we'll hear about shorebird conservation efforts in Baja, California. It's fun to see what they're doing, and their festival as well. Like, I know a couple years ago, they came and they were talking about their cool festivals that they do in Mexico. I was like, I really want, someday I'll go down to their birding festival.
And so that's Friday.
That's Friday.
And then what else is going on?
Friday on Zoom, and the Zoom meeting ID is on our website and on the paper schedules that were in the paper and around town. The bird feeder building I mentioned.
Yep.
It was like one of my first things I did as my job like 11 years ago. We're still doing it, going strong with building bird feeders. And that's at the Nolan Center on Saturday outside during the community market.
Uh-huh.
So you can go to community market and then come out, stop outside and build a bird feeder.
Wonderful. I would say two birds, one stone, but we're trying to conserve them, right?
And then continuing with the movies that we're sponsoring at the Nolan Center. So they're being sponsored by Birding Festival, so they're free. And on Saturday is March of the Penguins.
Oh, I love March of the Penguins.
I know. Like, who doesn't love penguins? And then, and Sunday, I'm really excited. So there's a movie, but then also, this is actually, I think, where virtual is really great. So on Sunday, this is actually not bird related, but it's just that whole community, festival. Let's do something I think the community would really like.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a showing of the Tracing Roots documentary, which is then followed by an appearance via Zoom with Dolores Churchill, who is the Haida Weaver that is featured in the documentary, and the filmmaker Ellen Frankenstein. So that's when it's nice that, you know, through Zoom we can still, talk to people that are while they're in Ketchikan or Sitka.
It's like our own little Sundance opportunity.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Talk to the people mm-hmm. involved.
So I really hope people can attend. I think actually that one stemmed because a couple years ago, I mentioned I was bringing artists into town.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago, I had talked to the filmmaker Ellen Frankenstein about coming to Wrangell and doing art workshops in the school. And then COVID happened.
Yeah.
But I thought, so we kind of like, let's postpone it for this year, and still not sure about traveling. We're trying to minimize that. So we're still screening the film and having it virtually.
Yeah, great.
Let's see. So that's, semi in person, semi virtual. And then, so for the following weekend, May 7th and 8th, let's see. on Friday, we're doing a scavenger hunt on the nature trail where we're putting out little tokens for kids to find and then return it to Parks and Rec for a prize.
Mm-hmm.
Just encouraging kids to get out and be outside. And then on Saturday for the early birds, a walk around the Muskeg Meadows with Bonnie Demersion, who is one of our resident expert birders. Bonnie is great because not only does she recognize birds by sight, but she has such a good ear. Former music teacher, you know, just has the bird songs down.
So she'd definitely be winning the name that tweet if she's listening in every day.
Bonnie is an amazing birder by ear. So if you want to learn more about tweets, come join Bonnie on. That's Saturday, May 8th. That's our kind of last event is a bird walk. So we tried to main... That's one that we do every year. It's pretty popular and one we thought we could continue doing, you know, outdoors. So we're doing our best. But I actually... While I hope someday we can bring in people from out of town to come and speak again, I do think some elements from this year will stay. Like more of the focus on the community... And doing things over several weekends rather than just doing it all in one.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it's a good balance of things and we're doing everything for BirdFest that we can be in COVID. And I think it's really lovely and I'm excited to, you know, join the bird walk, come to the movie, our little Sundance screening or whatever. So, I guess to wrap things up, people can find out about these events. Where can they find information?
Okay.
Find links for things? Where do they go?
I'm promoting our birding festival website this year just because, you know, normally, you know, our Forest Service office is still closed, though you can also find these schedules. Normally we just, you know, just things are more open or people are at, you know, more buildings, it's easier to hand out these schedules. But stikeenbirding.org. I'm promoting the website this year. It's a good place. And because if we need to make any changes, that can be done instantly. Stikeenbirding.org. Normally it's like, oh, just come see me at the Forest Service office and we'll have schedules. But if you go down to like the City of Wrangell offices, you know, schedules there. I think I dropped off a few with Parks and Rec since they were. One more thing I should mention. I'm trying to expand the do-it-yourself activities.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's why there's a photo contest, and there's a bird bingo contest as well.
Okay.
And so Parks and Rec was gracious enough to be the receiving and the host site for that since our office is closed.
Uh-huh.
I gave them bird bingo sheets, and if you go out, try to check off the birds on the sheet, just like a bingo card, try to spot them. Actually, it actually asks for a date and location, so you kind of think of it as almost like a little journal of like, okay, here's when I saw this, you know, spring migrant.
Uh-huh.
And then fill it out as best you can and turn it into Parks and Rec and it'll do a drawing for prizes.
And have you done any birding yourself? I mean, I don't want to assume, but
how has
your personal birding been going during BirdFest?
A lot of times it's almost a little too crazy, but it's nice. Actually, I was just talking about how I was running late. I like has like ran over here to the station because I was like watching these birds and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's almost 1 o'clock. And I ran over the station. I was just looking at some varied thrush, like just picking at worms in the yard. I'm like, oh, it's
aww.
You know, and then actually, I've been noticing a lot of migrants, sandhill cranes. Let's say I should have brought the bird bingo sheet in front of me. I'd be like, oh, check off. I've seen the snow geese. I heard the snow geese. I didn't see them, but I heard them one night.
Uh-huh.
During that nice warm spell, I had my windows open. I heard them in like at midnight. You know,
oh yeah,
through the window. Sandhill cranes were out. For several days. I have these golden crowned sparrows at my feeder. There's a great red-winged blackbird just outside the station here.
Uh-huh.
So there is, it's not, that's what I love, actually. That's what I love about the festival is that it's like, oh, it's like seeing all my friends, you know, it's spring. The golden crowns are here and they're only going to be here for you know, a couple weeks before they move on, you know, to their breeding grounds up north. So it's kind of fun to see all these birds that are only here for a few weeks and then they move on. So
absolutely. And do you have a favorite, like a bird that you're always the most excited to see?
So I have a favorite bird, which is different though than like
than my, one of my, the migratory migrant. Ones.
Yeah.
So what's that?
My favorite bird is an American Dipper.
Okay.
Why is that? It's just his behavior. Okay, so it's a little like kind of like blah looking. It's like brown. It's not like a flashy bird, but it's cool in that it hangs out in streams. So it just walks. It's like a songbird. It's not designed. It's not like a duck. It looks like a songbird, and it walks in the creeks and looks for aquatic insects that way. Aww. So I just think, I don't know, I think they're like unique. Like they're just a songbird that just walks around in the creeks, and I like them. They make this cool little like motion. They're called a dipper. They make a little cool motion as they're
dipping
looking
for bugs.
Yeah. But I will say, but then I also really like seeing the hummingbirds. It's like, oh, it's warm. It's warm enough for the hummingbirds. They're back. So I like seeing the hummingbirds as a migratory species. The dippers are around year round, but
I definitely won't call myself a birder, but I always did love hummingbirds. We had a hummingbird feeder all through my childhood in Portland, and laying on the couch and just watching the hummingbirds come.
Oh yeah.
I feel like part of spring and
people
summer.
Love hummingbird feeders. They love, yeah, I think it's that connection to like people and birds. It's like that, it's that sun, like, oh, it's gonna warm up, the hummingbirds are here, and they're just their beauty. I think people in culture like have a lot of like hummingbird art and design because they're beautiful birds too.
Definitely.
So yeah, I think promoting birding, even if you're not like a bird nerd, but like appreciate like just how cool they are.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time, for sharing your passion about birding and some information about the Stikine River Birding Festival. We'll definitely get that up on KSDK, and you can also go to stikinebirding.org.
Stikinebirding.org. I really want to promote that this year.
Stikinebirding.org.
The schedule's on there, and that way, and you can download the photo contest rules, the bird bingo sheet, copy of the schedule. It's on there. It's just an easy way to get to it when our office may not be open.
Perfect. Thank you again, Corey. I've really appreciated your time today.
All right. Thanks, Sage.
You've been listening to Talk on the Rock with Corey Delabrew from the Wrangell Ranger District of the U.S. Forest Service. The Stikine River Birding Festival continues through next Saturday, May 8th. You can find out about events at stikinebirding.org. We'll link the schedule on the post of this show on kstk.org, and you can also find old episodes of Talk on the Rock at kstk.org. Until next time, take care.